trusting that the Lord would move us. Amen. Onay julle vreeslik dankie. Thank you so much. Well done. There might be some ministry at the end. I want to introduce to you Sean, Cyril. Am I saying it right? Cyril, ne? Cyril. Sean is a special guy because he's English, my vrou in Afrikaans. So his wife, she tell you he's Afrikaans, there, yeah? Albei. So that's why he's allowed to come and preach here. No, I'm joking. But we've known one another a while. By virtue of just distance, we're not that often to you. But it was early in the church plant in Gordon's Bay that we visited you guys as well, ne, ministered there. So, and it's always great when we're together. It's a real encouraging time. And yeah, just wonderful again, Gordon's Bay team, that you guys are joining us this morning. And so, Sean, I want to encourage you, minister as you feel led, and don't feel that you have to speak Afrikaans. Ne. Bless you.
Right. Goeiemôre. Dis 'n besonderse voorreg om hier te wees met die mense van die Parel. If you haven't met me before, my name is Sean, and it really is an incredible, incredible privilege to be here with a team of guys from Gordon's Bay. Thanks to the guys that have come out, Morris and Yax. Thanks, man. It's phenomenal. It's been a while since I've actually been in the Parel. The last time I was here, we actually came back from a hunting trip. Let me just start my time here, because we need to be very disciplined with how we do our timings. The last time I was here, actually, we come back from a hunting trip, and there was a gentleman that was taking care of our meat for us. We came back with about a half a ton of meat, and we came to Paul to get it worked for us. But what was very interesting was two things. One thing is he said to us, he said, guys, we were coming from 9 hours away, so we had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to load all the meat so we could get here by 2 o'clock. Because he said to us, if you're not at the place by 2 o'clock, I'm gone. I had no idea why, because the business hours of the butchery were later than that. But as I drove into town, I had my first experience of your inter-schools day. It was incredible. I come from a small little school named John Ross College in Richards Bay. Like, we had maybe 2,000 people if we counted everybody twice. And it was nothing. I'd never experienced something like that. The trees were dressed. It had like colors on the trees and everybody was walking. I saw more rugby jerseys on people then than I did with the Springboks playing. And it was blue and white, or it was red and green. You know, and it was absolutely amazing to just look at all these people that were coming past, and there's a sense of everybody had such a deep sense of identity. On that day, you were there or you were there. I don't know what guys do that aren't in those two schools on that day. Maybe they go somewhere else for that day. But it was brilliant to see the sense of identity. Like, people knew who they were on that day. And I believe for you as a congregation, that's actually something that the Lord wants to establish in each of us. I believe that as born-again believers, when we walk, people should be able to look at us and go, that guy's a Christian. He believes in Jesus. Or that family believes in Jesus. And when you school kids, there's lots of school kids here. You guys are growing up in a generation that's not necessarily friendly to the gospel. It's not always cool nowadays to put your hand up and say that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But I want to say to you, the Lord wants to establish you in your identity, that you can be fearless. And just as brave as you would be to put your Paul Jim or your Paul Boys jersey on, the Lord wants you to carry His Spirit and His presence with you wherever you go. And He says that I will go with you. So I'm really excited for you guys. And I want to say thank you. It's felt like I'm with family here. It really has. And since we've come in, there's like so many people we know from Sunningdale days and Edgemead. And there's like, it's lovely that Josh and we can come and we can be in different places and it feels like we know each other. It feels like we're family. So I'm asking you this morning, if you'd open your hearts to me. Al moet ek Engels praat, I know you guys are going to understand me in Afrikaans, so we can do this together. All right. So what I wanted to share with you this morning is not so much a prophetic word. My primary gifting is actually not preaching. It's not pastoring. I would call myself a prophet. But I feel this morning I'm going to share a prophetic preach with you rather than a prophetic word with you. So I'm asking for a little bit of license. I've passed this past the local guys and they're happy for me to go this route. But what I want to share with you this morning is about the name of this message would be beating your plowshares into swords. What's a chut? I looked it up in the Afrikaans versions, and it says, smear van julle pikke swaarde. Nee? Is reg so? Is julle reg vir dit? All right. So what we've heard this morning is we've heard about the winds coming to blow and refresh. We've heard about power through position, which is brought about change, like fundamental change deep in the heart of your people. And it's beautiful listening to those testimonies, because what's actually happening is we are being transformed from one thing into another. Does that make sense? And in Joel 3, verse 9 to 10, we read this. It says, proclaim amongst the nations, consecrate for war, stir up the mighty men. Let all of the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. So when we read that, we can get very excited. And I got very excited. But if you look at the context of that, I must bring the context. The context is that God is actually, he's taunting, eight, the nations of the world. And he says, come, get all your guys together, all your strong men, even those that aren't strong, and come and challenge me. And I'm going to defeat you, and ultimately I will judge you for what you've done to the nation of Israel. So I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is a prophetic picture of God transforming all of us from something into something different. And that's the picture that I want to do. So thank you for allowing me to use the scripture in a different, from a different angle, but I'm hoping that it's going to be encouraging. And the concept of beating the plowshare into a sword is that I'm changing something fundamentally. God is changing us from inside out. He's taking us. We were used for a purpose. When we were in the world, we served the God of this world, and we had a certain purpose, and it was centered around the evil trinity, which is me, myself, and I. And now we've been brought into a kingdom where we have a different use and a different function, and we worship a different God. And I want to say to you that there is a process that's involved. And I'm hoping this morning to try and identify where you are in that process and to help you understand how to let God do what he wants to do with us. Is that okay? Are you with me? All right. So stage one of making a sword is you have to be put into the fire. There is a heat element to what God needs to do. And I want to say to you that if you have a look at what a plowshare looks like, if you would be so kind as to put that picture up, that doesn't look a whole lot like a sword. I think we can all agree. That is a plow, that is a plowshare. Its purpose and its design is to cut through soil, to create a divide, and to give you the opportunity to plant seeds so that those seeds can grow and bring a harvest. It's not a weapon of warfare. It's an agricultural weapon. It's not there to do. So to get that into a sword, we need to completely re-engineer that thing. We need to take off the wood. We need to get that metal off. We need to then put it into heat. It needs to go into the fire. And then the fire will start to heat it and start to make it malleable. It'll start to make it workable, soft, so that you can start to, in the next stage, I won't get ahead of myself, that we can do different things with it. And perhaps you here today, and you kind of relate to that. It's like, yo, man, I feel like, Sean, if you ask me, how's my life going at full? Ek is in die vuur. Dinge is wit warm hier. So I am feeling under pressure. There's heat on me. I feel like I can't escape. You know, there's a sense of almost, like at one stage of my life, I knew exactly who I was and what I was doing, and things were going great. And all of a sudden, I feel really uncomfortable, and it feels like God is changing me. And I'm sure for those of you who were in power through position, that's exactly how you felt. God's changing something, but I don't know what he's changing. I don't know what he's doing to me, but it just feels uncomfortable. Maybe if that's you this morning, I want to say to you, maybe God has placed you in the fire, and he's starting to make you softer. He's starting to make you malleable so that he can shape you into what he wants from you. But the interesting thing is that I try to research this, because normally what happens is when you do a preach like this, there's like a metal worker in the house. And he's going to come to me afterwards and say, you know, you said that was wrong. And I'm sorry if I get it slightly wrong. I did my best between Google and ChatGPT and all these things to try and research the process. So if I do get it slightly wrong, you are welcome to come and talk to me afterwards. Like, as a humble man, I won't fight with you. But what they did say is that different types of metal need differing amounts of time in the fire. It's very interesting to me. So not every piece of metal needs to be in for the same amount of time. So when we look at our friends and family and our community members, generally we'll look at them and go, that guy never seems to be in the fire. It's always me. Why am I always the one that's feeling hot and uncomfortable and God is always shaping? What's going on? Maybe, just maybe, the reason that you're in that fire is one of two reasons. One, if the core element of that metal is very, very hard, it needs more heat. And it needs more heat more often. Is this making sense? Some of you are going, yeah, and I know Rian and Ina are going, yeah, I know that piece of wood. I know that. When you are hard and you're not subtle, you're not allowing the Lord to work in you, sometimes you're going to end up in the fire a little bit more. The other side of it is that possibly the reason that you're in the fire so long is that there's such a call on your life that if God doesn't completely change who you are, you could miss your calling in the Lord. It's actually an act of love. It's not an act of punishment. And we see the fire as punishment, and we want to call in the Ghostbusters so they can come and do deliverance, and we're in shadow buying, and we're spiritual warfaring, and we're casting the devil down, and actually sometimes it could actually be the Lord. He's put you there because he's so committed to your transformation. He's so committed to your refreshment that he's willing to let you feel a little bit of pain for a long-term gain. Is that okay? Does this make sense to you? Don't look around the church. Don't look at your chanas next to you and go, hey, that guy never has a problem. I want to say to you, God is working with you individually. The moment we start to compare to somebody else, we've lost. Don't do that. Focus on what God is doing in you. And as you've gone through power through position this weekend, what has that done? Actually, we're going, God, come and look at me. Come and change me. I love that story about forgiveness. I love it. It's amazing. It's like, I can't make you forgive me. But when you do, we can have reconciliation. We can have build relationship. And God can form something new and beautiful in and through us. Is that okay? The second part of making a sword is the hammer. So if you can put that picture up. One just before that, please. There we go. Look at that sword. It's beautiful. It's in the right shape. It looks like it's, you know what its purpose is. The problem is that when that piece of metal gets brought out of the fire initially, it doesn't look anything like that. It's just a blob of red metal. And the hammer needs to come, and it needs to start to shape it. And it hits, and it hits, and it hits, and it hits, and it hits. And here's the thing. When that initial block comes out, it doesn't know what it's going to become yet. It could be a spear, it could be a plow, it could be a sword. And perhaps you've been in the fire for a while. And you've come out, and all of a sudden it feels like, yo, man, I'm getting buffeted, eh? My marriage has been fine, man. It was 100%. Now all of a sudden, yo, man, ek en my vrou ons speel bietjie koppestamp. We're hitting each other's heads. Why is this? I don't understand. Actually, because now what's happening is God is starting to shape your marriage. He's starting to shape you in your marriage so that you can become useful and beautiful and that your purpose as a couple can start to reflect him and what he's doing. This block of metal needs shaping. And us as Christians, we get shaped by the world. The world tells us what our values are. The world tells us what's important to us. The world tells us where do we spend our money, where do we spend our time, who are our friends, how do we decide who our friends are, how do we decide where we go to church. In a place like this, where this is a place of wealth, it's a place of heritage, having a big church building is an unlock. It's like, hey, I'm going to go to that church because it's got a big building. All I want to say to you, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, is that where God wants you to be? Is that where God is going to use the hammer to shape you and to start doing those things through you? I want to say to you that you won't always understand it. Let me tell you something. If you look around this room and you think about someone that's, it's werk om in community te wees met die persoon. I know there's none of you here. The Gordon's Bay people understand that. But you guys are great. You don't have that. But there's just those people in community that it just always feels like, maybe that's a little hammer that's just shaping you and teaching you how to be graceful when a person deserves no grace. I remember my first experience of coming into a community after I got saved. It was traumatic. I'm not even joking. There was this guy that came and he sang next to me and he sang out of key. And I think I was demonized because all I wanted to do was headbutt him. He was, and it was here and it was loud and I was like, I took my wife and we left. In the middle of community, I'm not joking, this is a true story. Yuck, man, I tell you, the Lord is going to put people in your life that are going to hammer you. They're going to shape you. He's going to give you elders and leaders that are going to speak into your life. Isn't he altijd lekker nie? You don't get to stand here. If anybody has a desire to be an elder, the Bible says that's a noble task. It is a noble task. Maar kan ek vir jou sê, jy gaan baie tyd in die vuur wees. Aanhoudend. You live in the fire. Because God is purifying. He's taking out the dross. He's taking that which doesn't look like him. And then the hammer comes and he's constantly shaping you. And we are elders together. We look at each other. So when I leave it to the, I'm going to Ruan. I'm saying, Ruan, what could I do better? Take your hammer and sculpt me. Make me look like Jesus. Because it's important. I'm sharing the word of God. This is spielikies nie. This is important stuff we're doing. We must take this thing seriously. But we can also have some fun while we do it. Amen? Don't push away the hammer. Let it do its work. Because if you accept the heat and you accept the hammer, there's a beautiful, beautiful thing that's going to happen in stage 3. Does anybody know? Are there any metal workers? What are we going to do next? We're going to quench. We're going to quench. And this is a picture of the quench. You can see the shape has already been established. We've got our nice little hook and we've got our shape. And this is clearly going to be a sword or it's going to be a long knife or something along those lines. The heat has come. The hammer has come. And there's now the process of hardening that blade for use. So once it's been shaped, once it's been heated to the right temperature, it then gets immersed into a liquid. And through that liquid, it gets cooled, and then it becomes a surface that can get grinded down, and it can finally become a sword. And there's a quench process that needs to happen. And that quench process is very interesting, what the ingredients are, what the liquid is. It's either water, or it's oil, or it's brine, which is soutwater. But the most common liquid used today to quench a sword is oil. And in the kingdom of God, what do we, when we anoint somebody with oil, what is that a symbol of? It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You see, God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us to receive the heat, to help us to receive the hammer, to help us to be transformed from one thing into another. And in fact, there's language like this in John 3, verse 5, it says this. Jesus replied, "The truth is." So you know when Jesus says the truth is? This is waar hy die. So then we listen to what he says after that. Verstaan? It's like it's quite simple. When he says, "Very truly I tell you, verily ek sê vir jou," that means listen, this is important. And he says, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. We have to be quenched in the Spirit. But we're not like the sword that gets quenched once. Because actually what happens is that if a sword gets quenched and there's a little, what will happen in that process of the rapid cooling, you have little cracks that can start to form on the blade. And if that crack starts to form on the blade, then they have to heat that up again and try and beat it a little bit more. But now it's difficult because it's a little bit more resistant. And then they beat it a bit more and they heat it and they beat it and they heat and they beat and then they quench again. We need constant and regular quenching in the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. We can't do it in the power of our own strength. If you think you can, you're a better person than me. We can't do this. We must be those that are constantly looking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, positioning ourselves to receive the oil so that we can live the life that God's called us to and we can serve the purpose that God has called us to. Does this make sense to you? So I do want to ask you, Where would you put yourself today? Are you in the fire? There's some I heard in the fire. Bruh, God bless you. Really, he's working in you. It's a blessed thing. Rather in the fire than in Opi Aswap. Rather getting hit by the hammer than being left to be an implement of destruction. Worthless. Not useful to anybody or anything. I want to ask you this. When last have you sat before the Lord and said, Holy Spirit, would you come and quench me? Would you come and fill me and overwhelm me and empower me to do what you've called me to do? This is something that it's irreplaceable in the kingdom of God. It's impossible to walk this walk if we don't do that. It is physically impossible. When Jesus comes to you, Jesus was the beloved. He was the promise of God to all of us for salvation. He comes to earth. He lives the perfect life for you and me so that by his life and death, we can be reconciled to God. And then can you imagine what it felt like for the disciples? They've walked with him for 3 years. They've lived close to him. They've shared food. They've slept next to each other. They've known each other more intimately than anybody else could ever have done. And he dies and he comes back and they see him and he appears to 500 other witnesses and they must have thought, yes, he's back. Come on. Jesus is going to turn the world. He did that while he was, before he died. Imagine what he's going to do now. And then there's a little while later and he says, you know what? It's better for you. I want to say to you this morning, Jesus says to you, it's better for you that he went. Because if he goes, he will send the Holy Spirit. He'll send us that oil. And that oil will give us the ability to not only live towards God, but live through God. He comes and he empowers us. There's that deep conviction, that deep sense of, I can do all things. Through Christ who strengthens me, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can allow ourselves to go to the fire, to go to the hammer, and to be quenched. Is that okay? So I said to you, that's a quick and fast and in a hurry, but I do believe sincerely that this morning the Lord wants to do a work in each and every one of us. And I have faith that as we pray together now, that perhaps this could be a moment for each and every one of us where God can change us in some way, shape, or form. Even if all it is that happens this morning is that we find peace and contentment in the fire. I'm not promising you today, this is no prosperity gospel. I'm not promising you today that God's going to magically touch your life and everything's going to come right. I don't see that working that way. He's committed to the purposes and the processes of your life. But I do believe that as Paul said, I am content with lack and with much. I believe God wants to bring a contentness, a peace to us as we submit to the processes of God. So I want to ask, could we close our eyes together this morning, please, if you don't mind? You guys have been very gracious and kind to listen to my English rambling here. Father, I want to thank you for what you're doing in this congregation. This is a beautiful congregation. God, I want to just bless Ruan and Inna and their team and the leaders and every single saint that's here because you are actually making a difference. They are making a difference. They are changing the spiritual landscape in this area. And I pray for your hand to be upon them, to bless them, to protect them, to anoint them, to quench them in your spirit. But Lord, I do know that as I've shared this morning, that there will be some of us here this morning who, as we've worked through the three processes, have identified, perhaps I actually am in the fire right now. Perhaps I'm being transformed from something that was into something that I will be. And I want to surrender the fight this morning. I want to stop fighting you, Lord. I want to stop fighting the heat on my body and on my life. I want you to help me. I want you to break me through. And perhaps there's those amongst us this morning that you've come through seasons of heat and you've been made soft and malleable, but now it's like there's that hammer that's just consistently chipping away at you, changing you, challenging you, loving you into becoming more like Jesus. And then finally, I do believe that there are many, many, many of us here that need to approach the Lord this morning for a fresh quenching, a fresh experience with the Holy Spirit. We've run past Him. We've taken it onto ourselves. We've started to do this in our own strength, thinking that what we do is sufficient. Perhaps you're here this morning, and actually you've started to rely on religion and routine to get you through. So I come to church on a Sunday because it's what I need to do. I go to community on Wednesday because it's the right thing to do. I lift my hands because that's what's expected of us. And actually, I believe that the Lord is saying to us this morning, I want to refire you. I want to touch you. I want to ignite you so that what you do is done out of love and devotion, not out of religion and routine. So can I ask, if those of us that are here this morning and you feel like you're in the fire, could I ask you, would you stand where you are? I'd love to pray with you. And I know there's some. It's not something to be embarrassed about. Thank you. That's amazing. Well done, guys. See, there we go. The ladies are coming. There we go. This is beautiful, man. Yo, can I just say to you before I pray, do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how the Lord is committed to each and every one of you? Because if He wasn't, He would leave you. But He loves you so dearly that He's going, I will put my fire on you, and I will make you soft, and I will get you ready for change. I want to say to you that it might really feel difficult, but the Lord calls you blessed. Are there those amongst us this morning that are under the hammer? If you're under that hammer and you see God is shaping you and He's changing your shape, He's moving you from one thing into another thing, and it might not even be a bad thing into a good thing. It might be from a good thing into something better. Yes, man. Let's respond to the Lord this morning. It's not responding to me. You're responding to the Lord and saying, Lord, I am more than happy for you to have your way in and through me. Thank you, Jesus. And then finally, who amongst us has got caught up in religion and routine? And I can't remember the last time I've experienced the Lord, you might be saying. Lord, I've asked you to speak to me. If you see me, won't you call me? And I want to say to you this morning, this is the Holy Spirit calling you. That question that you asked, Lord, do you see me? He says, yeah, I see you. And I'm using my servant Sean to call you out. For those who've been caught up in works, dead works, There's no joy. There's no joy in your quiet time. There's no joy in your worship. There's no joy in your fellowship with the other believers. I want to ask you, won't you stand so that the Lord can fill us? Thank you. Thank you. That's amazing, man. Come on, guys. The Lord's here to do business with us this morning. So if you're not standing, bless you. Rejoice in the season that you're in. And can I ask you, if you're at the fire and you're a sword, you've got work to do. There's battles for you to fight. And your inheritance is in your brothers and sisters. So can I ask you, if you're not standing, won't you just reach out and just lay your hands on the person next to you?
Guys, I just want to add one more, not a process, but just as Sean was speaking, maybe you've heard the changing. It's like your relationship with God is all right. It's good. So it's not bad routine or so, but you know it's a next. You know there's a step into the next needed. And it's like little cracks that have just needed to be, and now you need a quenching. I just feel that there's some of you that you want to be filled with the Spirit, but you're like, it's not bad, but I want more. I feel there's a space for that too. If you just need for that next step and say, okay, Lord, I acknowledge and I know I need more of you for this next season. I want to encourage you to also stand that we can pray with you.
Amen. Come on. That's great. Well done, man. Right. Lay your hands on someone next to you. Yeah, man, this is beautiful. This is family. This is the kingdom of God breaking out amongst us. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I thank you for every single soul that's here. I thank you for this congregation. And I thank you, Lord, that even as I look at this wall, I see individual bricks that have been placed together to make a dwelling place for the Lord. And I thank you this morning, Lord, that you have made these people individual bricks built into the same wall, into the same building, useful for you. So God, for those that have stood up this morning in response to you and they've said, Lord, I'm in the fire. It's hot. I feel like I'm burning. I feel like all I want to do is run. I want to get out. Maybe it's your relationships. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your workplace. And you're just wanting to go. You just want to run. Father, I pray that you would give them grace right now in Jesus' name. That your grace would be sufficient for them to submit themselves to the fire, to soften themselves in the fire so that the fire can have its purpose. It can work them. It can soften them. It can make them ready to be molded into what you want to make for them. I thank you for grace upon grace and mercy upon mercy. And I pray this morning, God, that they would actually have eyes to see that the fire is a blessing, not a curse. It's a blessing. It's the hands of Jesus on your life to mold you and to change you into something that is useful in His kingdom and in the world. God needs you. I thank you for those, Lord, that have felt like they're getting absolutely pummeled. They're getting hit from every corner. They've almost got into a stage where they're going, I don't even want to stick my head out because as soon as I do, it feels like I take a punch. And Lord, if the enemy is at work, and if it is the enemy that's buffeting them, then I ask God for your protection over them right now in Jesus' name, that no work of the enemy would prosper against them. But Lord, I ask that as we stand before you this morning, in response to the hammer, that if the hammer needs to fall, we would let that blow fall. But I pray for a supernatural anointing. For every single person here, I pray for discernment amongst your people to understand the blow, to understand why they're being shaped and what they're being shaped into so that they could submit themselves to that purpose. And once again, that they would see it as a joy and not a punishment. That it would be something that they would embrace and not fight. And then, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, and I pray for myself included. Would you come now, Holy Spirit? We just ask you, come and move. Come and touch lives. I can feel your presence here, God. I pray that you would just come and land on each individual here. I pray for tongues of fire above every single head. I pray for an infilling and an overflowing of you, Holy Spirit, in our lives. Just where you are, won't you say, Holy Spirit, come. Come and quench me. Come and fill me. Come and overwhelm me. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you that you are with you. You'd love to dwell amongst your people. I pray for an empowerment of your saints this morning. I pray that each person would take up their role, that they would realize this morning that I am loved and I am beloved. And that you are living and active in my life. Can I ask you, as a sign of obedience, if you're able to pray in tongues, won't you just quickly, can we just lift our tongues to the Lord? Just lift your, perhaps there's even some here this morning, you've never spoken in tongues before. It's not something, you've desired this gift, but it's not something you've ever received. I believe there's a grace this morning for you to start just where you are. Just let your tongue loose. Father, I pray that you would loosen every tongue in this place this morning. That those who have longed for this gift of tongues, that you would release a tongue to them this morning. Come and do it, Lord, for your name's sake and for your glory. We thank you, God, for your purposes. We thank you for your plans. And we thank you that we are yours. In Jesus' name.